For the final hour, Darren Donnegan Chase live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Predators and Flames tonight. 7 o'clock puck drop here at Bridgestone Arena. 6 o'clock pregame. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and now Elliot Friedman. Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts. Every week he is brought to you by Carey's Eyre, Remax Elite. Elliot, tonight it is Nashville and
don't even
Calgary. Or is it
don't give
Calgary?
You've already. He's been a good sport, but there's no reason to go back.
They're playing Calgary, is it Calgary?
Don't even go. We've already done this. Turn the page. Let him be.
Let it be.
Please don't say.
Elliot, how you doing?
Look, it's not my fault that Kevin Pollak doesn't even know how to pronounce cities in his own country. Like, it just isn't.
By the way, we had Terry Crisp sit down with us in the second hour of the show here at the table at Pete and Terry's Tavern, at his tavern, and we played that clip, and we kind of gave him the little backdrop. Of course, Terry Crisp won a cup.
And what did he say?
Calgary. Oh, he was cackling. He was loving it. He says Calgary.
Because he knows. He coached there. He knows it's not Calgary. Like, nobody calls it that.
Oh, I got to believe, by the way, We have to get the reaction up where you are Saturday night. We're sitting here in postgame on the heels of an 8-round shootout victory over the Blue Jackets here at Bridgestone Arena. But we've already seen all the deets coming out of Toronto with how the Maple Leafs lost to the Hurricanes. What was it like to see E-Bug come in there, David Ayers, and get it done for the Hurricanes?
Well, you know, I'm in the studio, and, you know, Reimer gets hurt early in the game. He's the starter that night, and the backup is Mrazek. And he has that collision with Kyle Clifford, and he goes out. And, you know, we've seen enough of these games to know that the E-Bug is there. So you're automatically looking, okay, who's the E-Bug for this game? And some of the guys knew that it was David Ayers because he does practice with the Leafs occasionally. And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes in. And, you know, it was kind of funny. So the Maple Leafs American Hockey League team also plays in Toronto. They play just down the street from where the Leafs do. They're called the Marlies. And he's got his Marlies mask on. And I think this is hilarious. And the fact that he's 42 years old, I mean, there's no 42-year-old goaltenders for a reason. I think Rene has got to be the oldest goalie in the NHL right now. So, you know, and then they score, and it's 4-2, and they score again, it's 4-3, and Toronto's suddenly within a goal. And all of a sudden, guys, the text started coming in from people around the league about what an embarrassment this was, and such a huge game because Toronto and Carolina are neck and neck in the playoff race. And people are saying to me, people in the league are saying to me, you know, this is embarrassing. A Leaf employee who's 42 years old goes into this game. There's so many millions at stake, and this is what they're seeing. And then he kind of, the Hurricanes and the goalie get to the second intermission, and everything kind of calms down. Like, people are thinking the Leafs are going to win 12-4. And, like, I knew people who were going online on their betting apps and putting hundreds of dollars down on the Leafs. Like, it was crazy. And then in the third period, the Hurricanes right themselves. They play an unbelievable period. They totally smother Toronto. The Maple Leafs can't do anything. And all of a sudden, the texts start going from what a disgrace this is to what a joke the Leafs are. They can't even beat this guy. And, you know, people were really happy for David Ayers. I think everybody is really happy for him. They milked it, obviously, in the last couple of days. Why not? It's going to be some of the greatest moments of his life and career. And, you know, I think you can think two things. I think you can think it was a great thing, but also you kind of have to make sure this can't happen again. I don't know if you want millions on the line. And it's like a 42-year-old goalie in the way here. So I have a feeling there will be some tinkering to the system next week at the GM meetings.
What do you think happened, Ellie? Is it just simply the stage in the market that you're in, that massive market that is Toronto, because we just had this happen last year with Foster in Chicago. And I know that the difference is Ayers actually recorded a win, but, I mean, what's changed where all of a sudden now it's like, this must be addressed? What changed?
Well, I think anytime something happens in Toronto or Canada, it's always a big deal. Like, I've heard people say, people have said to me that, this is only a big deal because it happened in the Maple Leafs. Well, it's kind of the way hockey goes. That does happen. If things happen in Toronto or they happen in Canada, yes, it's sort of like things happening to the Dallas Cowboys, right? Or things happening to the LA Lakers. They're always bigger than everywhere else just because of their place in the sport. So, yes, I do think that was a factor. I do think all the attention was a factor. You know, I know a couple of years ago at one of the meetings, they talked about teams should have to hire someone who works on their coaching staff as like a video assistant or somebody else, a guy who's recently been a goaltender at the pro or college or junior level. And, you know, they travel with the team. And if you get a situation, they can go and goal. And I know teams fought back because of the cost. They said, wait a second, you know, you're asking us to travel someone and pay for someone, and how much are they going to play? So there was pushback against that. One of the things, guys, I think that could become a conversation here is, you know, like I said earlier, there's no 42-year-old goalies for a reason. And because that's a really tough position to play at that age, although the Leafs made it pretty easy on them on Saturday. I could see a situation where they say, there's got to be some structure to what kind of player we got here. Now, someone said to me, and I think it's very fair, that in Toronto, you probably have 300 goalies you could pick from. In some of the areas, like, for example, Nashville, the pool, because hockey is still growing there, the pool might not be as deep.
Yeah, David Poole made that very point, Elliot, when we asked him about it. He said, well, the person has to live in Nashville. So the pool is very, very different, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, and I think that's very fair. And, you know, one of the things, like, I don't know, do you have to move someone to live in Nashville? Do you offer someone as a job? Does the NHL and the Players Association say, okay, we're going to split the cost and we're going to pay for someone to live in Nashville? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but I do think they kind of said, you know, like, you guys know this. If that hadn't worked and Carolina had gotten blown out, people would be destroying the league.
Yes.
They would be destroying the league.
I think you're right.
If the guy looked like he just didn't
belong.
If he gave up
seven goals, it would. You're right. They would be crushing the NHL today. Still today 100%. From a Saturday game.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, and people would make, it would be all over all these organizations as a joke. Like, what a joke the NHL is. And so, you know, sometimes we talk about process versus result. It's like one of those games. Okay, say the Predators lose 6-3 the other night, but their expected goals for was 62%. Well, you say, okay, we didn't have a good result, but our process was good. Do you think anybody's happy with that? No.
Yeah.
But if your expected goals are 8%, but you win 4-2, wow, we got the right result. So that's what matters, right? So often the result tells the story and it gives everyone the reaction, but you can still look at the process and say, ooh, I don't know if we want to do that again.
Yeah, good points. Elliot Friedman on the line with us. So I said for weeks on the show that I thought and I would stand pat at the trading deadline if I was David Poile, and indeed, minus Matt Irwin going to Anaheim, there were no additions, let's just say that, really, for the most part, like what we've been accustomed to, especially over the last two or three years. What do you make of David Poile saying, all right, this is the room that you're going to roll with, and it's up to you to dig yourself out of it and figure it out. And as we sit here today, because of the win Tuesday night, they are currently the last wild card team in. But what did you make of what David Poile essentially ended up doing on Monday, which was really nothing?
Well, I think that's kind of what most of us expected. We didn't, like you guys, I didn't think that he would bet on this team short term this year. And, you know, when you look at the Predators, you simply don't see a team that's been as good as what you guys have shown in the past few seasons. And I think you have to be very careful of short-term attempts when you're not like that. Unless you think you're going to win, or you think you absolutely have to add to get to the playoffs for your market, don't do that. And I can understand why he didn't. I think he did have Smith and Granlund out there. Just in preparing for this today, I think he set like a kind of price for maybe like a couple of second rounders would be the kinds of things that would make him think about moving either of those players. He didn't get that, so we just held. And to me, that's probably the smart play. I don't believe you just, like, people say, well, if the guy's going to walk, you give him away for something, so you get something and don't get nothing. I disagree with that. I think if you cave at the trade deadline, people remember. And they say, oh, David Poile, he caved last year on Smith and Granlund. He's going to cave this year, too. So I think it's better not to cave than to do it. I think he set a price, probably a couple second-rounders for each. And if he didn't get that, he wasn't doing it. And, you know, I still think, guys, like, depending on where the rest of the season goes for you guys, and, again, you have another huge game tonight, and they're all huge in now, I think that will determine whether or not he takes some of his more term guys and says, all right, we're testing the market on them too.
Elliot Friedman is with us, sportsnet.ca. And Elliot, the teams that the Predators are competing with all did make some moves. So let's start with Calgary and the two defensemen that they brought in. And I understand there's a very good chance it looks like Mark Giordano, their captain, and, of course, a Norris Trophy guy, gets back in there tonight to go with Derek Forbert and Erik Gustafsson. So what do you think of the improvements that the Flames made?
Well, I think they didn't do anything major. I think they thought about some major stuff, but nothing came. You know, they had the two injuries on defense. You mentioned Giordano could be back tonight. I think they felt it was important to plug those holes at a relatively inexpensive price. They traded for two players. One cost them a conditional third-rounder. The other cost them, like, a deeper pick. It wasn't significant, but I think they felt it was important to make those moves. Like, that's a place with market pressure. I think it's, when you miss the playoffs after finishing second in the league, I think you know you have your challenges from the market and from the owner. So I think that was a situation where they said, you know what? Let's do some stuff to give us some depth that won't cost us a ton. And they responded really well with their last game, that win in Boston.
Got home from the Predators' win over Ottawa the other night, and I got to watch the third period of Edmonton playing in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Anaheim managed to win the game. But Edmonton and the trades they made, it looked like instant chemistry with Tyler Ennis and Andreas Athanasiou with Connor McDavid. And, of course, on Monday, we're going to see that Edmonton team come through here.
Well, that was a situation where the GM there wanted to reward the players. Edmonton, I don't know what people expected this year. I don't think we expected they'd be great. I thought we expected they'd be better, and they've been really good. They've really improved. They've been a much more structured and locked-down team. They played really well when McDavid was hurt. They held their heads above water. They didn't fall apart. And I think that was a situation where, and they got a big injury on their blue line. They lost their best defenseman, Klefbom, for a while. So I think that the organization there, the GM, Ken Holland, he felt their players needed to be rewarded. And he didn't have to pay a big price for a defenseman, Mike Green. He didn't have to pay a big price, a fifth-rounder for Tyler Ennis, who you just mentioned. And the one he battled with, and he wanted speed because McDavid's fast. He needed somebody who was fast to play with him. After the CU, him and Steve Yzerman had a bit of a tug-of-war. Steve Yzerman said, first-rounder. Holland said no. I think he said 2 seconds. It was as far as he'd go. And finally, Yzerman agreed to it. But that was a situation where they felt like they wanted to reward their team, and they didn't have. They gave up 4 draft picks, but they didn't give up their first rounder, and I think they felt that was a fair price to pay to help their guys out.
When we were in Winnipeg not too long ago, it looked like the team was on the verge of coming to an agreement with Dustin Byfuglien to part ways to give them some salary cap relief. Why was that not resolved?
You know, it's a really good question. I checked with the Jets on Monday, the day of the deadline, and they were still hopeful that they could get something for him. I don't think that was going to be happening now. Bufflin's made it very clear he's not going to play this year. I think the interesting, I think the Jets would have, if they felt there was something they needed to get or trade for to make themselves better now. Now, they did a couple of small things, but nothing big where they needed Bufflin's money. So, you know, I'm going to try to figure more about this weekend because we have them on Saturday night. But from what I'm hearing, you know, what happens if Bufflin decides he wants to play next year? You know, they have him under contract for another year, and there's a process in the NHL called tolling. And to basically explain this, and it happened with a player years ago in Ottawa who refused to play for the Senators, named Alexei Yashin. And the league ruled that because he didn't play all year, his contract didn't expire by a year, that he still owed them that season. And the Jets were asked about this the other day, and they said the league had left it in their hands. So what I'm thinking here is the Jets are waiting to see if Bufflin decides he wants to play again, and they either trade him to somebody to someone so they can get something for him, or they say, well, you owe us 2 years instead of one because you didn't play all of last year. So I just think it sounds to me like unless they all of a sudden out of nowhere throw him on waivers to break his contract soon, I just think that this story is not over. And that's probably not a good thing for reporters because we've got to keep chasing it.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet. And I was reading in your 31 thoughts. We all know about the trade that didn't happen between the Islanders and the Wild with Parise and Ladd after they both waived their non-trade clauses. But you also have in here that Mikko Koivu was also in play. So what was it that just didn't work out with all of that?
You know, I'm going to give some credit to a reporter in Minnesota by the name of Mike Russo. He kind of got the most information about it. And I heard it from him yesterday. Apparently what happened was it was supposed to be Parise and Mikko Koivu for Andrew Ladd, a first-round pick, and a prospect named Kiefer Bellows. And I had heard Kiefer Bellows' name in there, and I knew Koivu had been – the Islanders were on Koivu before declined to waive his no trade. Well, Derek Brassard in New York, he broke his jaw. And the Islanders decided they needed a center. So when Koivu wasn't agreeing to go, they went out and they traded for Jean-Gabriel Pageau from Ottawa, and they gave him an extension. And in that trade, they traded a first-round pick. So all of a sudden, the first-round pick that the Islanders were sending to Minnesota was not available. So Koivu's out of the deal. The first-round pick is out of the deal. And it's not a trade that Minnesota really liked after that. And also, the numbers, you know, in terms of how it was going to work, it didn't appeal to the Wild either. So I think that's why it fell apart, but I think there's a chance it could still be revisited.
Big two games for the Predators to close out the month of February. Tonight against the Flames, Saturday night against Colorado here. So it'll be very interesting what the landscape looks like when we talk to you next Thursday. Elliot, we appreciate it as always. You have a great weekend.
All right, guys. You have a great weekend, too.
Thanks, Elliot Friedman. From Sportsnet, brought to you every week by Carrie Zier Remax Elite. When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to that Avalanche game on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena to close out February. It's going to be February 29th, to be exact. But we'll tell you how. You'll have to answer a question from this interview. On the other side, for Avs Preds tickets Saturday night. Be listening on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators and Flames tonight. Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Avalanche Saturday night, Bridgestone Arena. Your chance to be here is right now. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Elliot Freeman joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. And sometimes we give away tickets from that interview, but you have to be listening to the interview to know what the answer to the question is going to be. And in the interview that just took place, we talked about a potential big trade between the Wild and the Islanders that was floating out there on Monday. And the two key pieces were Ladd and Parise. But he also brought up another player on the Minnesota Wild that would be involved, would have been involved in that trade. So it would have been Zach Parise and this player going to the Islanders for a first-round pick, Ladd, a big prospect, but obviously that deal did not happen. So who was the other player that was going to be attached to Parise in the possible Minnesota-New York Islanders trade? Answer that, and you'll be here at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday night when the Predators host the Avalanche on February 29th. 737-1025, 615-737-1025, as the lines explode. I don't know if you know or you don't know, but we will find out. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to win.
And I guarantee you we'll get some texts, which you're not eligible. You must call.
Must call.
But if it makes you feel good to text the answer,
it's okay.
Go ahead. It's okay. A free country.
It's
go
okay.
Ahead.
You can. Okay. There's no rules. There's no rules against it.
Don't be rude.
You will not.
I mean, if you want to text, it's
you
okay.
Text, okay. It's okay. It's okay.
That's what we got the text line there for.
Go ahead, text. You know? You like to text? Text.
I mean, I get it.
Third time.
Look, I understand. I get it. It's sometimes you just want to text.
You don't like to dial numbers. I get it. You don't like to be, you know. You don't like
Do
to
we
hit
think
the phone.
Willie knows the impression that I'm doing?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, okay. Of course. Of course it does. Oh, I see a lot. The telltale sign. I feel like he fielded a lot of calls. The
when
telltale
hits,
sign.
See, look, we got a text.
When he X out the lines, that means I've got a winner.
Yeah.
Elijah struck gold.
People listen. People listen attentively.
However, texter, you did not. You said it, but it's wrong. So.
Did he texted the wrong answer?
He said, because we have a winner now, so we can say it. He said, Mika Koivu. It's Miko.
Yeah, it Koivu. Is Miko.
And. I'm a stickler. I would not accept that.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, really?
That would not.
Be harsh, because do you think whoever Elijah's talking to said Mika or Miko?
Chris Morris better have said Miko.
Oh, Chris said Miko. He nailed it.
Okay, okay good, okay, good, okay, good.
There
good.
We go. We have clarification.
It's pretty good.
Chris Morris.
I like it.
Not the former Auburn Tiger.
Good job,
New
Chris,
Jersey Nets.
Thanks for listening. We appreciated your basketball abilities. Chris Morris correctly guessed or said Mikko Koivu, who was the other piece in that big trade that did not take place. So, Chris, enjoy the game on Saturday night here at Bridgestone Arena between the Predators and the Avalanche. So, I don't know if I should bring this up because it's probably a Debbie Downer moment, but we know Calgary is good, and they're just above the Predators in the standings. They're both the wild card teams today. But if you've been paying close attention to Calgary, they have been very good, and I mean very good, on the road this season, especially over the last several months. They've been the best team in the league on the road this season. So the Predators will need to be aware of that. They have had a lot of success on the road this year.
Look, and it's well documented. Halloween night, that was Calgary.
Yeah, they owe them. They owe them that.
So
they have 19 road wins. That is one of them. But since November 13, that's when they have really kicked it into gear. They're on a 5-game road trip right now. They've won two. They won in Detroit, which many people do. Then they go to Boston, who had only lost twice in regulation at home all year long. They beat them. They are now 15-4-1.
It's actually November 23rd, not
November 23rd.
Yeah,
so around Thanksgiving time. Okay, so
November 13 was the last time the Predators, until Tuesday night, were in the playoff picture.
Oh, that's right. I'm
but
getting
November
the November
23rd,
dates mixed up.
Yeah, they're the best road team in the league.
Good
since
call.
November 23rd.
Good call. 15 wins.
15-4-1.
That's good.
Yikes.
That's good.
You know who's the second best road team since then?
They're coming in here on Saturday.
Yep. Colorado.
Colorado Avalanche.
So the two best road teams in the league since late November are coming. That's the next two opponents for the Predators.
So let's tell it like it is. Everybody's excited about these wins that they've had against Columbus and Ottawa. They're going to have to play better if they're going to win these next two games.
Well, I brought that up earlier.
They're going to have to play better than they have.
Yeah.
And I think they know it. They know it. The best thing they have going is they believe that, you know, they're if they do things right, results will follow. But I think they know in the back of their mind these are going to be tougher tests than what they've just had.
I feel like there are times against teams like Columbus or Ottawa that, for whatever reason, the Predators don't play to the best that we've seen them play. And I feel like to a team against a team like Calgary, they're going to get up for that game, which is what you want. So, you know, I think you're going to see a better start than you have maybe the last two games. That's what they need. You'll hear from Ryan Johansson later on in pregame, but I asked him about that of, you know, we used to always talk about this team that if they had a bad start, they could rebound in the second period. If they had a bad game, they would rebound in the next game. And it feels like that went away for a while. And now it's back, that they're back to that their old ways of, hey, not everything is perfect, but we can't dwell on it. And so we put that in the trash, turn around, and can play play much better. So I think you're going to see them come out with a little bit of jump, as they say, tonight. And I hope that's the case, because you get down early to a team like Calgary, it's hard to come back.
Like I said, some would say, exactly why are you bringing up these stats again? These are horrible. This is horrible news. Well, I mean, these are just facts. It's just stating the facts. Do you know what the Flames' record in the last 9 games in Nashville is against
what?
The Predators here? Last 9 trips to Nashville, well, you know what the Flames' record is?
Well, there's two ways to look at it.
Okay.
From the Flames' perspective, because I know the answer. Do you want me to say the answer?
Sure.
The Flames are 8-1.
8-1.
But
8-1, their last 9 trips here.
But how many of those games have gone to overtime? 5.
Well, they've won, but the problem is they won all 5.
But if you're the Predators,
you got at least 5 points.
Right. You're not 1-8.
Yes,
you're 1-3-5,
right,
whatever it is.
Right.
So it is. If you think back to the games that have been played in this building between these two teams, almost all of them have been complete roller coaster rides. There have been tremendously dramatic games. Now, Nashville has had way more success against the Flames in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
They've won a lot of games against the Flames over there. They've had They like the Saddle Dome. I don't know why. Here, for whatever reason, it has been odd. Now, this will be the first time they've played the Flames here under John Hines. And they did beat the Flames under John Hines up there. So there's no way to know what's going to happen, but we do know that the Flames are at their best right now. They're playing well. They're playing well on the road. They might get their captain back tonight, Mark Giordano, very important player for them. They've added 2 defensemen who got a game under their belt in Boston. So I think – and the other thing that's going on for them, Johnny Gaudreau, who had a rough start to the year, is now coming on. He and Sean Monahan are playing very well together, so they're going to be a handful.
I thought they traded him, no?
He had to pee, remember?
That was one of my favorite lines on Monday.
And Callie Yarncroke's cousin is a pretty good player, too, Elias Lindholm.
That's Callie Yarncroke's cousin.
First cousins.
Wow.
In fact, when Elias Lindholm, this was an interesting story that came down last year, but when Elias Lindholm was traded from Carolina to Calgary, the person that told him, because he saw it on his phone, was Callie. They were at a soccer game or something. It might have been the World Cup year. I can't remember all the time where they were. They were at a big event. I think it was a big soccer game. And Callie goes, you know, you just been traded.
It's the middle
of the summer.
And that's how
you just
he
got
found
traded
out first?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had some stories last night on Smashville Live about how you find out you got traded.
Yeah.
What that process is like.
All right, let's do that on the other side.
Holzer,
let's come back.
Jared Tenorti and Hal Gill.
I want to find out a little bit more about that last night over in East Nashville. We'll do that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I pretty much got the call and raced home right after. And once they told me my flight is at 6 p.m., I was like, okay, I got 2 hours because it takes me an hour to get through LAX. So I packed up everything I had at the house. And the lucky day was that I just had the cleaning lady in that day too. So good or convenient. So I had that done too. And just really like packed up everything that I wanted to bring or don't need anymore. I threw out, like, I had a nice Chewbacca costume from Halloween I wanted to bring home to Germany. I threw that one out now. So because
that's a shame.
It is. It looked unbelievable. So I was a little mad that I don't have it anymore. But other than that, I just packed everything up and went to the airport with like 6 bags and my hockey equipment and
And here you are. Last night, Smashville Live, Boomba's Pizza, East Nashville.
By the way, that Chewbacca costume.
It's
Star Wars night.
How can you throw that out? Can you chuck that on Star Wars
night? If he had known, maybe that would have made the flight.
I mean,
you could even put that in the transaction. Matt Irwin traded to Ducks for Corbinian Holzer and Chewbacca costume.
You cannot chuck the Chewbacca costume on Star Wars night.
That's tough.
What in the world?
What in the name of Wookiees?
So what did you make of him last night?
Oh, very sharp guy. We had some fun talking about his perspective playing for the Ducks against the Predators. He had 18 penalty minutes in the Western Conference Final in 5 games. He played 5 of the 6 games in that series. He was a member of the team.
That was a good question from the audience.
Excellent question from the audience.
About that.
Sharp guy. We'll see. He's been around the block. You know, he started off with Toronto, went to Anaheim for a while, and now here in Nashville. I don't think he's going to be in there tonight. We'll see. But I think they're going to roll with the same crew based on who skated and all that. We had stories, though. Hal Gill has told the story many times on the air when he got traded to the Predators. The guy calls him, the general manager for the Canadiens, calls him and says, "You've been traded, but I can't tell you who it's to. I'll tell you in 30 minutes. And he says, so he's in Buffalo. They were traveling to Buffalo for what he thought was just an up-and-back trip. So he's not home. He's in a hotel, and he says, "You can't tell me who I'm to." He goes, just hang tight for 30 minutes. I'll call you back. So he has to call his wife, Ann, and say, "Okay, Ann, I've been traded." And, you know, you can imagine their conversation. Our family, are we moving? Where are we going? And they don't know where. They know their world has been turned upside down, but they don't know where.
I don't even understand the point of that.
I don't get that either. Yeah.
What is the point of picking up the phone and saying,
"And before,
I want to tell you this, but I can't tell you anything else"?
Yeah.
That would be so frustrating.
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, "Why didn't you just call me in 30 minutes?
Call me in 30 minutes."
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I guess he wanted to inform, because before he called him back in 30 minutes, David Poile calls and says, "Hal, this is David Poile. You're on the Predators." So that was interesting. So Jared Tenorti, who will be in the lineup tonight, he was on the Canadiens at that time. Now, he was in the minors, I think, at the time, but he had gone through a training camp and got to know Hal Gill. So this is all the circles of Hal Gill, right?
Knows Hal Gill.
There's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Someday there's going to be a hockey board game, 6 degrees of Skillsy, I think. So Jared Tenorti's about to get on a plane to go on a road trip with the Canadiens. This is about a year later. And they stop him, like, "Okay, guys, come through." They stop him right before, "You're not getting on this plane. You've been traded to Arizona." So he just stopped. He's got his bag. It's just amazing. And the three of them agreed. There's no other feeling like it in the world. Like, people would have no idea. Like, sometimes you're like, "Hey, I can't imagine what that's like." Well, we really can't, right? The feeling of your life is just completely changed. I remember getting the call that I'd been released by the Blue Jays. That's not quite the same thing, because that's like the end of the line. This is, your world is completely changed overnight. Now, here's the trivia that we found out last night. Jared Tenorti was traded to Arizona for 2 players. You'll never guess unless you look it up. But how crazy is this? Victor Bartley, a former Predator.
Bartley.
And the MVP of the 2016 All-Star Game, John Scott.
Really?
Who is, you know, now will forever be famous. Got voted in by the fans, and nobody thought he should make it. And he was in the minors at the time. And he was the MVP of the All-Star Game. So that's good trivia right there.
Who was it, and you guys will remember this, but I remember a situation where the Predators made a trade. They acquired a player. He gets on the plane. He is on the way to Nashville. Lands in Nashville. Gets off the plane.
Got
and has been
again.
Traded again.
Yeah. Yes.
Who was that?
That was.
I'm not going to remember his name.
Eric Belanger.
Yeah,
he got traded to Nashville, mm-hmm. and then got immediately traded right as he landed for somebody else. I think Vishnevsky. Was it Vitaly Vishnevsky, the defenseman?
I think that's his name. Yeah, I mean, that's his name. I don't remember what the trade was. But yeah. I just remember that that was a situation where it's like, hey, you're traded. Go to Nashville. Get off the plane. Hey, you've been traded again. Welcome to Nashville. See ya. It was one of those situations.
It's a business. It's a business.
Well, I mean, you saw what happened with things that were going on Monday. Guys were arriving at rinks during games.
In the middle of the game.
Yep. But it's funny on the 6 degrees of Hal Gill. Last
6 degrees of skills. We got to make this happen. This has got to be a hockey board game.
Last week on Smashville Live, when I had Austin Watson and Craig Smith, you know, look, everything runs together. I've now been, you know, on the broadcast for a while with this team. And so I forget that Hal actually played with Craig Smith and Austin Watson. So he actually played with those guys. And Hal told that story of when he got traded and that there was a time that he had kind of been told he was good, like he was going to be fine. And so they were on the road, and he had his suit, and that's all he had. So he had to go shopping because he didn't have anything with him.
So he said, I got a new wardrobe.
Yeah, so yeah. He was telling that story that and he made the joke of Smitty and I were going around trying to find me clothes. But it was, you know, those are the stories that happen, like especially if you're on the road and you get traded and you didn't think you were going to, what do? You buy a new suit.
Those are good. Sound like good. I mean, I haven't met Holzer yet. Tenorti's a great guy to deal with. That had to have been, by the way, a very tall broadcast.
It was.
Between the four of them.
I put out there on Twitter, that was the tallest broadcast on radio last night.
Are you the shortest of the four?
I haven't gone back-to-back with Corby, as they call him, Corbinian Holzer. We're both listed at 6'3". He may have me. He definitely has me with the hair. Yeah. He's got the red flow.
Okay.
He does.
But Tenorti 6'6", Gill 6'7".
Yeah, that's not even a question, those guys.
So we got
– I'm 6'4".
I put out there on Twitter, that was the tallest show on radio last night. Yeah. Definitely the tallest show.
Maybe a hair skosh below 6'4". Maybe I think I used to be. I think I've – you know, as you get older.
Spine.
Think so we're –
spine contraction.
We're the tallest show on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Especially if we have Skillsy on.
We're the tallest show in Nashville.
Probably.
No, it's not probably.
Yeah.
Tallest radio show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to be.
No doubt.
Could it be just tallest show? Like any kind of show?
Yeah.
Well, I need to know who's on with Will Perdue. Because he accounts for a lot.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know, like, Jared's like 5'3", so.
I mean, Will's 7 feet.
Yeah.
So. I would say, but I mean, we average almost right at 6'4", the three of us. So that's
– yeah, definitely the tallest show.
Yep. All right, we'll come
back to us
and put a bow. That we win nothing. We will come back and finish out Thursday's show next. What's a 40 at the combine? Is that today or is that tomorrow?
Hang on, I'll tell you.
Like Willie needs to know because this is a critical pick six question. He tried to ask it 3 weeks ago, but I think it's today or is it tomorrow?
The 40-yard dash is. This is not telling me. I need to know. I'm trying to find it. It is. Everything officially begins today, like all the drills. I'm trying to find a list. It'd be nice if they had just a list of when the drills are.
The Chiefs have come out and said they are going to franchise tag Chris Jones, their big defensive lineman. You know, we were talking about Elijah brought up Allen Iverson, went to Memphis for like 5 minutes. With the Grizzlies, I did see the Grizzlies. Boy, they got handed to them last night in Houston. I know Elijah was probably watching.
Well, yeah. So it starts today. Group one is this afternoon. That's quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends.
40 today.
Well, they do. They do it. They've changed the schedule, so they're doing it in different groups. So, yeah, that's going to be a part of it.
But is it go on to tomorrow, or is it just all going to be knocked out today?
I think different. What I'm telling Depends you is different position groups. Like the DBs are on March 1st. So.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's all about the different position groups.
Elijah, did you watch any of last night?
Oh, I did. Yeah, the Grizzlies kind of they fell victim to the Rockets' small ball, which is working really well. They don't play a guy over 6'7", and they have been killing teams lately.
That is interesting. And will that bite them in the you know what in the playoffs, or can they actually survive and thrive with a when you think about an NBA team, you don't think about a team that's 6'7" or less.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a little radical, but I'm like of the personal belief that they're going to upset some teams in the playoffs, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to the Western Conference Finals and beat, like, the Clippers or maybe even the Lakers on the way there, just because they're such a matchup nightmare that, like, think about it. Even defensively, the Rockets can just switch every screen. Like, it almost doesn't even matter. If you can just at least keep guys like Anthony Davis to shoot tough shots, and the way they shoot threes too, and the way they hunt corner threes, like the math just works out. Like I know a couple weeks ago when they played the Lakers, they gave up almost 60% shooting from the field, but hit like 11 or 12 threes and still end up winning the game by 10 points. That doesn't happen very often.
We discussed this last summer in the Western Conference Final, Darren, when the Rockets were playing the Warriors. How the Rockets put their whole season on the line based on these mathematical formulas of getting a volume of shots up from three. You know, James Harden, the way he goes about it, he just basically comes down and goes one-on-one half the time. Now they have him and Westbrook attacking the game. It's not the prettiest basketball to watch sometimes, but they feel like if they get enough threes up there, they're going to make their share. It's threes or layups or get fouled, right? There's really – they try not to shoot a whole lot in between. They have really subscribed to that.
And this has been really good for Westbrook,
too. Definitely more dunks with the Rockets. But I'll tell you what, they handled Memphis last night.
Yeah, they've come out of the gate slow since the All-Star break. They got to get going here.
I was watching a little SEC basketball last night. And
I watched some, too.
Yeah. Tennessee got it handed to them in Fayetteville. That did not go well. Vandy lost at home to Missouri.
Couldn't hit a shot.
Could not hit a shot.
Willie left Boomba's with hope. He was very
hopeful. They were up at half. And then things went awry in the second half. So that was not good, even though Scottie Pippen Jr. looked good in the loss. I watched Florida dominate LSU. And you're starting to wonder now, what is LSU? Because they're in a bad patch. They're definitely skidding down the runway. Florida looks like they're getting better. I'll tell you another team we're not talking about, but everybody watch out. They got a crazy, likable coach. But has anybody noticed South Carolina looks like they're getting pretty good? Nice Frank win Martin. At home in overtime over Georgia, but South Carolina seems like they're starting to put it together. They got some nice wins. They're building their resume.
Look, the SEC tournament's going to be fun here in Nashville. I mean, not that it hasn't been in years past, but I think you're seeing teams like South Carolina, and we've talked about others that – they're going to make it interesting.
Okay. So I ask you guys today, as we said here, would you take Kentucky or the field? Field guy. You taking the field here?
All you get is Kentucky?
Yep.
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Well, I get Auburn. I'm not kidding.
I get Auburn, LSU, Florida, South Carolina.
13 other teams. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. I'd go field.
Take
really?
Field. No question. Field. No question.
I would not.
You still go Kentucky?
Yeah.
You bleed blue.
No, Willie knows that. I don't pick. I don't pick with my heart. I pick with what I believe.
Yeah.
You're not less of a fan just because you think your team's going to lose.
Look, the tournament's always different. You get a crazy upset. Even the conference tournament, you never know.
I think there's teams getting a lot better. I think there are teams that can build their resumes and possibly get in with what happens here. But if you're asking me who I think is going to walk out of here the winner, I think it's Kentucky.
When do we get our next installment of the bubble watch, Willie?
Oh, yeah. Is that
tomorrow? Yeah, absolutely tomorrow.
Because I have questions.
Is South Carolina on your radar?
They're on the radar, no question. They're sliding up, but they still got work to do.
And currently, right now, you say how many teams from the SEC? Because that's kind of what everybody's
that's part of my
throwing
question.
Out there.
Well, where's my bag? I put my sheet away that's got all my data from last week.
I want to know, do you have four or five teams
well,
right now?
Well, right now, Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, Florida.
That's four.
Then I think Mississippi State and South Carolina are the next two.
Mississippi State.
Elijah thinks that Arkansas still has a heartbeat because they have had injury issues. I still need to see a lot
more. Well, they're getting some of those guys back, too.
Yeah, so that's a weird one. I am never one that sits there and says, well, because a couple guys were injured, that should make a big difference. Like, injuries happen to everybody. I understand why they do it, but that's kind of a controversial subject sometimes.
So we'll have that installment tomorrow. From Tin Roof on to Mummery, and that'll do it for our show today.
Candace Story Lee tomorrow, too.
That's right. You have a great rest of your Thursday. We look forward to wrapping up the week tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.